Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read, and our theme this morning, your Father is merciful and forgiving. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a number of years ago, there was a country song about living in a moment that you would die for. I suppose that most of you, or some of you who are still in love with your wife or husband, you know what I'm talking about. A moment where it all comes together, where there is no worry, no fear, just love and contentment. A moment where time seems to stand still. Rather than living in a moment we would die for, Jesus today calls us to live in the moment that He died for you. However, if you hear what Jesus has said to us this morning from the Holy Gospel, and if you perceive that that is all law, that it's only a moral code to live by, then Jesus is saying nothing more than, say, Dear Abby would write. Yet Jesus is speaking today to those who are under His cross, to His disciples, to you and to me. Jesus is calling you and me, who have experienced the moment where our sins have been washed away there at the font, where our sins have been sent away, covered by the blood of the Lamb here at the table. He's asking us to remember that He has done this for us. And in this moment, even though at one time we were also enemies of Jesus, we have now been saved. We know what it means to be forgiven. We know what it means to be given to. So Jesus tells us, in the moment that He died for you, where our enemies would strike us on the cheek, we are to turn the other cheek. Where they would take from us, we are to give and to give and to give. To most, this doesn't make a lick of sense, especially to those who live outside of Jesus, who do not know Him as their Lord and Savior. You see, they will use human reason and human wisdom, which would never, ever conclude that a struck face should be turned or that the one who takes should be given to. This violates every rule of our human survival. What would we have left if we allowed everyone to take all that they wanted? How many times are we to turn our cheek? Now, I know what you're thinking. I perceive what you're thinking. You're thinking that your pastor is going to say that Jesus doesn't really mean that we're to turn the other cheek, or that we're to give to our enemy and give to our enemy and give to our enemy. But He does. That's exactly what He means. Jesus, for moments as such as these, He has redeemed them. He has redeemed these moments from our wisdom, from our standards. Jesus did this by dying for you and even dying for your enemies and His enemies. Once again, as Lent is coming upon us, we will hear the passion history. You will hear the Pharisees hating Jesus, which they did. You will hear a thief cursing Jesus as He was also crucified next to Him. You will hear of Roman soldiers whipping, beating, punching, spitting upon, and then placing a crown and finally nailing Jesus to a cross. All of this is because of sin. Open rebellion against God. And this is where you and I enter in. Yes, you and I. You and I have a part in hating, cursing, and nailing. Yet what did Jesus do in return? That was the point we were trying to get across to our children. Do you see how Jesus redeemed this moment? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words of a Christian, words of the Savior, words that are given to us to also use. Father, forgive Ernie, for he didn't know what he was doing. And he did forgive him, and he did repent. Thanks be to Jesus. Instead of self-defense and repayment, this is where grace shown to you can overflow into someone else's life. That's why Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek and to give and to give and to give. It's all about the other person seeing that you are different, that you are a follower of Jesus, and that you desire that they repent. So you forgive and you forgive and you keep on forgiving. Yes, I know it's hard. It was very hard for me to forgive many people in my life. I prefer not to talk about it now because they're forgiven and those sins are no longer remembered. But we must also remember, as St. Paul tells us, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's true. There was a time when you and I were enemies of God also. But in His great grace, He came to us in the waters of holy baptism, in body and blood, in the preached word, and the Spirit converted our evil heart, and we repented. And now we know what it means to forgive, for we ourselves have been forgiven. You see, your Lord has mercy on you, and He has mercy on me, even though you and I don't deserve it. Our ingratitude should be punished, but instead He forgives and forgives and forgives. Moment by moment, the notes of mercy sound in our lives. This redeems. This transforms. Christian living is not a matter, my dear brothers and sisters, of following a list of do's and don'ts. That is not the Christian life. It's a matter of living in the moment. Living in the moment that Jesus died for you. Dearly beloved, doing good, blessing and praying for your enemies is not something that sinners are actually capable of unless the Holy Spirit is present in your life. God must graciously do these works in us, and He calls us to lean on the hope that that will happen, and it does happen. But when we think about turning the other cheek, or forgiving our enemies, or being merciful to someone who clearly doesn't deserve it, who is not forgiving toward us, we conclude immediately that I cannot do that. But that is as silly as Moses standing before the Red Sea and saying, God, I can't do this. Thinking that you're supposed to dredge up love and mercy for sinners in your heart is like the disciples, how they somehow could go and buy enough bread for 5,000 plus people. No, my dear brother and sister, you're supposed to hear this text and then not think about how you're going to do it, but how Jesus will do it through you. You are to hear this text and act by saying, Jesus has done this for me. Now I can do it. And when I do it, it will mean something. So finally, always remember that your Lord Jesus Christ has the mighty power to defend you from all the accusations of the evil one, from all the accusations of those who actually hate you because you're a Christian, or for whatever silly reason that they may have. Never ever let the devil or them determine God's grace for you. You see, God will do that for you via His holy word. Your Father, my dear brother and sister, is merciful, and He is forgiving. Isn't it evident? Isn't it evident in the means of grace? Even as He hung there, bloody, beaten to a pulp, barely recognizable, His first words, "Father, forgive them." Yes, you're going to tell me, well, Jesus is God, and that's true. But He's also a man. And that's a lesson for us. For in forgiveness there is power, my dear brother and sister. There is power over the evil one, and there is power over the one who hates you. For when you forgive, you're exerting the power of God. And then the Holy Spirit will work on their hearts. It is He who will convert them. And just like Ernie, you too will rejoice as I rejoice over my brother Ernie. You see, the blood of the Lamb is powerful enough, and it is thick and rich enough to completely cover all your sins and the sins of those who hate you. Completely able to atone for all of your sin. And therefore, once again, your pastor announces to you, for the sake of the Son, that all your sin is forgiven. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.